1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in Manchester. It's Kale & Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, located at 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. Well, this year, WKXL is celebrating 75 years of broadcasting. The NBA is celebrating 75 years of existence. And the world is celebrating the 75th anniversary of the 1946 classic film, It's a Wonderful Life. I bet everybody listening has seen it several times at least. And our guest today on Kale & Company is Doug Stebbleton, who has collaborated with Reinhard Danke on a new book entitled It's a Wonderful Time, which gives us a fresh look at the making of It's a Wonderful Life. And Doug, we thank you for joining us today. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And this is the first book in the Hollywood time travel series, as I understand it.
That is correct. Yeah, it was not originally a book. It originally started out as a movie script that I wrote back in 2005 that I co-wrote, actually, but it was the original idea of mine. And you know, tried to get it made in Hollywood. It was like about a $20 million budgeted film, and always got really good feedback, but everyone we had brought it to passed, but they always said it was a unique story, but it wasn't what they were looking for at the time. So about 2 years ago, I thought, you know, I might never get this movie made at that budget, so I thought, maybe I'll just make it into a novel, make it longer, and add some new characters, and that would be a lot less expensive and a lot easier, and so that's what I did. And rather than just having a one-off book, a good friend of mine who's written various books said, you know, you might even want to think about making a series. So, you know, people, readers, they like to continue reading stuff if they like it. So I thought that was a great idea and great advice. So that's how I came up with the Hollywood Time Travel series. And this book, It's Wonderful Time, is the first book in hopefully many more to come.
Well, let us hope so. This one, a very entertaining book. I haven't read all of it as yet, but the parts I have read are terrific. And you know what? I bet someday, do you still hold out the possibility that someday it could be a movie?
Well, it certainly could, because, you know, usually in Hollywood you write scripts hoping to make it a movie. Some movies get made from books. But the way I am in the film business, it's always based on scripts. So yeah, it could happen that way. It could actually happen. Some big movie producer or somebody reads it from their kid buying it or something, and they might say, "Hey, this could be good for a movie or maybe even a possible TV series." You never know.
Yeah, very true. Now you've been in Hollywood a long time, and before we delve in more into It's a Wonderful Time, just give us a little biographical sketch of yourself and how you got started in Hollywood.
Well, I'm originally from Montana, born and raised in a little town called Glasgow, Montana, and I was a musician, a guitar player, and I came out here in 1984 to go to a one-year music school called Musicians Institute, and I did that, and after the year, I had to make a decision to either go back to the small town or stay in the big town, and the big city, and I really liked L.A., so I stayed here and got a job right away. Luckily, a couple of older gentlemen in my apartment building who were kind of mentors to me said, "Hey, you should try to get a job as a valet parker." And I said, "That sounds like a good idea." And they said, I said, "Where should I go?" They said, "Well, why don't you start at the top, go to the Beverly Hills Hotel." So that's what I did, and luckily I got hired right on the spot, and that was an amazing time in my life, because through that job, which I worked at for 3 years, I met so many interesting people that were very instrumental in my life and doing the things that I ended up doing. So, yeah, worked at the hotels of L.A. Parker, got a job as an internship at a music company through somebody that was having dinner at the Polo Lounge, and then got in the music business and have been in the entertainment business for, 34 years or so, since 1987, so however long that is.
Wow, that is really something. Started as a parking lot attendant, and a good place to do it, obviously, at the Hollywood Hotel. But a terrific story, and now you've become a powerful TV executive.
Well, I don't know about powerful. it's always been music for me, but it's always been on the film and TV side of music. So I've been a publisher. The lady that I ended up working with that I got the internship, her name was Donna Ross, and she gave me an amazing opportunity. And she was a music publisher, and that basically meant she was getting songs and film and TV shows. On records, actually. You know, Atlantic Records and Warner Brothers. They're always looking for outside music. And so I learned that side of the business. Then also she had a management division, and she managed Eddie Murphy for all of his music projects and soundtracks and Irene Cara, and worked a lot with Ray Parker Jr., the guy that wrote Ghostbusters.
Right.
And so I learned a lot with her. And then after I was there maybe a couple years, we decided to start doing film and TV music. And that's what I've done for the last, 30 years. So, yeah. And so, and the TV side, about maybe 2005, I started getting interested in producing movies. And started doing that, and then recently came up with a TV show called Cars and Stars, that's about film and TV cars, and that is, it's like a cable show.
Wow.
So that's kind of some of the stuff I'm doing.
Very good, and of course this book that is out now, it's a wonderful time, terrific read, and the main character of your book, a 25-year-old time traveler, Evan West, who is transported back to 1946 Hollywood during the making of It's a Wonderful Life. So tell us about the main character and the inspiration for him.
Yeah, so Evan West, when I came up with the idea, I didn't have a name at the time. I just had an idea of a guy getting chased out of Hollywood and going underneath this pedestrian walkway that was actually there by the 101 freeway, just about a mile outside of Hollywood, or half a mile, actually. And so I got the idea for that, and I just wrote down the information on some pages, kind of get it out of my head, and eventually made it into a Word doc and made it into an outline. And as I was doing that, that's when I came up with the guy's name, and I wanted him to be like an editor working in Hollywood, like doing movie trailers, and around 25 years old, kind of a young millennial guy. And so, but he loves film, it's not biographical, so he's not me, but there are some traits that I gave Evan that I had, which one being that It's a Wonderful Life was his favorite film, which is my favorite film, and the movie script was an homage to that film, which we've continued the same story in the book. But he had loved that film. Jimmy Stewart, his favorite actor, my favorite actor, and Frank Capra, my favorite old-time director. So there was a few things that he liked, that I liked, and also loved 1940s Hollywood. So those are the only things that I had given him. But also he's really into driving old cars, and he dresses like the 40s, which definitely that's not me at all. But definitely all the things that I've learned in Hollywood, and also Reinhardt, who's my co-author. We've both been in the business over 25 years, so we kind of put some of our stories and the people that we met and made them some of the characters based off some certain, the characters are based off certain people that we knew, and that certainly helps,
Yeah, the premise is West and another time traveler, Dr. William Cooper, are trying to save Frank Capra's film from destruction by a greedy Hollywood studio mogul.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what. It's like I'm just trying to get my gardener is out there doing perfect, terrible timing. Right? He's out there with the blower, so I don't know if you can hear that on the radio.
No, I can't. I cannot. No.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. Well, I can hear it, but I'm glad you can't.
You sound great.
Your audience. He does meet another time traveler. Since it was going to be a series, I thought it would be good to have a time travel buddy for future books. So it's not just Evan. And so, but yeah, in this first one, there's a greedy studio mogul who's trying to make Capra do certain scenes that he didn't want to do. And so Evan knows the film and realizes that his mission for going back to 1946 Hollywood, which is the year I picked, because that's the year they made It's a Wonderful Life, during the summer of 46. And so he is the one who kind of helps Capra make some certain decisions and kind of saves the day. So the movie that we have today, now this is all, fictional, but
sure.
we kind of put him in a historical fiction setting. But it's kind of fun. The way I look at it is If you ever, you know, for all the people that love the movie It's a Wonderful Life, what it would like to be like a fly on the wall seeing it being made, well, this is even better because you get to see it through the eyes of Evan, who actually gets a job as an assistant editor on the film. And so he's there through a lot of it, and it's really a fun time travel ride, you know, back to the days of Hollywood.
Yeah.
In the 40s of Hollywood.
No doubt about it. And Coop, Dr. William Cooper, worked for Mr. Tesla.
That is right. Yeah, we in the first draft, I had come up with that guy's name, Dr. William Cooper, and the name of the way I came up with it was William Powell. It's one of my favorite actors, and also Gary Cooper is not one of my favorite actors, but I really like Gary Cooper. But Gary Cooper is originally from Montana, which is where I'm from, as I mentioned. He's from Helena, Montana. So I took the word, the first name William from William Powell, and Gary Cooper's last name Cooper, and made him Dr. William Cooper, just because I like those two names. But he is a guy that originally was from the future, and then Reinhardt and I decided it would be more interesting to actually make him from the past, and we were trying to figure out the timing and stuff, so we had him born in 1870, and he was 29 years old when he got zapped in 1899 to 1944. And we just thought it'd be interesting to have him working with a guy like Nikola Tesla, who was a, you know, an amazing scientist and doing stuff with electricity. And he was having problems with, you know, Edison and really interesting history and kind of wireless stuff. He was way ahead of his time, and we thought that would be an interesting guy to be an assistant to for a guy who's going to be doing time travel. So that's kind of how we came up with that idea.
Well, it's a very clever idea, very imaginative, and. I imagine your inspiration was the movie itself, It's a Wonderful Life, which you say is your favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, it definitely is my favorite movie. When I came up with the original idea, I didn't know what movie, or I didn't even know it was going to be about a movie. I just had a guy, I thought he goes, you know, he gets in this car wreck and he runs underneath the tunnel as he's getting chased, and then when he comes up on the other side, you know, there's lightning and it's raining, and he goes through a time warp. When he comes up on the other side of the highway, at the, you know, the same location, but on the other side, it's 1940s Hollywood. And so that's all that I knew. I didn't know what year, but then as I started thinking about it more and writing it, I thought, you know, what better year to pick would be 1946, you know, right after World War II, an interesting time. A lot of the guys are coming back from the service. And, you know, Jimmy Stewart and Frank Capra were actually both in the service. You know, Jimmy was a bomber pilot, a B-24 bomber pilot. He actually did 30 combat missions. So he was just coming back. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to, reacclimate into civilian life after, you know, the things those guys saw. And also Capra was making, you know, documentary movies, Why We Fight, the Why We Fight series, and doing stuff with, you know, for the war effort. So, yeah, those guys came back to some interesting stuff. So that's why I picked 46. It was right after the war, and I thought that would, and then the movie, that's when they made This Wonderful Life. They made it April to July of 1946. So I figured, let's start with that movie. Not start with that movie, but it was, you know, just from the script, I wanted it to be about that movie. So that's why I picked it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the extensive research that had to be done on And It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart, as you mentioned, and the director Frank Capra, and, you know, other things that took place in 1946 as well.
Well, let's see. So definitely, I've been studying this stuff for, you know, 30 years because I've loved those old movies. I probably got that from my mother, who liked the old movies and used to watch them. Watched a lot of movies, read a lot of books, and then when I was doing the research for, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, there's a lot of books of the making of and trivia and stuff. So I used some of that stuff in the book. You know, when they made the Bedford Falls, you know, exterior, you know, the whole city or the town that's in, that was at the time they made it out in Encino, which was called the RKO Encino Ranch. Not there anymore now. They have houses there, but back when they made it, it was the town was 300 yards long. It was the longest set that had ever been built in the movie industry. Yeah, 300 yards long.
Man, that's three football fields.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. three city blocks, and they had brought in real oak trees, and Capri even had pigeons. You know, they brought in homing pigeons to get used to being there, so when they filmed it, it actually looked like a real town. So I learned all that stuff as I was doing the research, and just kind of learned, like I said, a lot about Jimmy Stewart. Was not sure if he could act again, you know, after being in the war for 4 years. And same thing with Capra. You know, he had done some great movies in the 30s. You know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Actually, Jimmy was in that with him. And, you know, You Can't Take It With You, kind of, you know, kind of funny comedies and stuff. So this one was, you know, a little different because it's actually not a Christmas movie. It was actually a movie that took place during Christmas, but it had a lot of dark stuff to it. You know, cause Jimmy Stewart, you know, the money was lost from $8,000, which is a lot of money back then.
Right.
And a lot of money today, but really back then. And, you know, he's thinking about committing suicide, and there's definitely some dark stuff. And so, yeah, just an interesting movie for both of those guys. But so I just had to do a lot of research, and I learned a lot, and that's kind of how I did it, watching movies and reading a lot of books.
And it was made in the summertime, and you know, obviously it's a movie based in the winter around Christmas time. So how did they make the snow?
Yeah, that's a good question. they really did have a heat wave during those. Some of those days were in the 90s, and actually the scene where Jimmy Stewart's on the bridge and there's snow coming down, I think it was like 90 degrees, and there's actually, you can see that in the movie, there's sweat on his face, and that's actually because it was so hot. But nobody would know that. But yeah, they had, back in the days when they were using snow, a lot of times they were, you know, having to use like cornflakes and painting them white. And they looked okay when they came down. But the problem is when they would, you know, do the scenes close, when they would step, you know, you could hear the crunch of the cornflakes. So they'd have to redub the dialogue. So one of the guys, I think his name was Russell Sherman. He was one of the special effects guys with RKO. Him and his staff came up with the new kind of a formula. It was it's called fomite. It was the chemical ingredient that's used in fire extinguishers. And he took that with soap and water, and they mixed that, and then they piped it through these high pressure pipes into fans, and the fans blew it out as white fluff, and it would eventually, you know, disappear. But that's all that snow that you see in the movie. It's not cornflakes. It's this new thing that they had admitted, and it worked really well.
I'll never look at it the same way again.
Yeah,
After I know now it was cornflakes.
Yeah, before.
Yeah, absolutely. Our guest is Doug Stebbleton, and he has collaborated with Reinhard Danke on a great book called It's a Wonderful Time. It gives us a look at the making of It's a Wonderful Life and a time travel story. It encompasses everything. We have to take a quick break. Doug, hang in there.
Okay.
It's Kale & Company on 1450 WKXL, 1039 FM, 1019 on the FM dial in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Kale & Company presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call them for an appointment right now, 603-225-7988. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio, talking about what matters to you. Welcome back. It's Kale & Company at 1450 AM, WKXL, 1039 on the FM dial in Concord, 1019 FM in the Manchester area. We're presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, located at 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. Our guest, Doug Stebbleton, one of the authors of It's a Wonderful Time. And in the book, there is a character by the name of Dorothy. And who is Dorothy based upon?
Well, Dorothy is not based upon anybody specifically, but there are some parallels, I guess, to Donna Reed, who is Jimmy Stewart's wife, because she was, as an actress, you know, very just kind of the, you know, pure kind of girl, you know, from next door. And that's kind of how we portrayed Dorothy, is just a young girl who worked in the diner, and she, you know, she had lost her husband in the war. Had a little boy, and she was working in a diner and also putting herself through business school. But she's just a very interesting girl. She's about 23, and she's very independent. And some of the people that I've talked to who have read the book really thought that, you know, they said that she was one of their favorite characters in the book. So we wrote her like that on purpose, but she was not about anybody specifically, but we the girl next door, but very smart and spunky and had, you know, plans to do big things, which you know, you'll see in the book how things ended up for her.
Yeah, absolutely. There are also elements of spirituality in some of the scenes of It's a Wonderful Time. So what were you communicating in those scenes?
Well, you know, when I wrote the script originally, there was none of that. There was no spiritual stuff. It was just, you know, just a good romp going back to 1940s Hollywood. And then when Reinhardt came on and we decided, when we co-wrote the novel, we were thinking, you know, in This Wonderful Life, you know, there are definitely spiritual aspects where it's not hitting you over the head or anything, but, you know, the whole movie starts out with God talking to an angel, sending him down to help George Bailey, a guy needs help, and so it starts off like that. So we thought, well, let's put a few things like that in the book. You know, Evan, we have Evan definitely like believes in God, but he's, you know, maybe not sure exactly what he believes, but there's times where he needs to pray and he says like, I hope you're listening and stuff and those kind of things. And then, but Coop, the other guy, definitely has a background in, you know, being raised in Harlem, going to a Baptist church. He knows the Bible really well. He knows a lot of books very well because he's almost like a genius. But so we did put some elements like that in there just because we thought that would be good, and it worked for both of them, and we'll see how that develops in future books. But, yeah, we kind of didn't work in the script as much because we didn't try, but in the book there was a lot more room to do stuff, and so I think people will like the connection that there's some of that in there.
Now, how about the character Huckabee in the book? What does he represent?
Well, Huckabee is, you know, when I originally came up with the idea in '93, I didn't have that aspect in there of a school shooting, because that stuff wasn't happening that much back then. You know, Columbine happened in '99, I think. So after that is when, unfortunately, we started seeing a lot more of those things happening. So in the early outline, I didn't have that, but in 2002, when I wrote the outline more, I added that aspect into it because, unfortunately, it was starting to happen in the culture, and so we put that in there. And the guy was influenced. You know, we made up the name, but he was influenced by one of Evan's violent trailers that he was editing, and we just wanted to show, you know, how, you know, movies do make an impact in people's lives, and we kind of have that. Is something they talk about, that Evan talks with Capra, because Capra, you know, doesn't know about that kind of stuff that's happening in the you know, in the 2000s, the stuff that we're dealing with now, which Evan is coming from, you know, 2021. So things to, you know, to talk about in culture, and if movies, you know, have an effect on people like that. So that's who that guy was. Yeah.
So it wasn't based on Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor. No.
No, it wasn't. We didn't. Yeah, I hope Mike Huckabee. I've met Mike before on a movie that I did, and hopefully he realizes. I might even be on his show, but maybe that's the reason I might not get on the show. But no, it had nothing to do with his last name, because we thought some of these guys when you hear their names on the radio and on the newspaper, a lot of them have like three names for whatever reason. So we just thought we came up with that name, and but yeah, no relation to Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
Mike, I hope you're listening.
Yeah,
had nothing to do with you. It was just a name.
There you go. So I'm sure he'd have you on his show. Sure, why not?
Well, we'll see. That'd be great.
As you referenced, you did include a sequence of the book where Jimmy Stewart, his character, drinks too much and becomes very maudlin, as you pointed out. Why did you include that that sequence?
Well, we did that on purpose, and not Jimmy doesn't come off as a drunk or anything. We didn't want that to happen, you know, because Evan actually is in 1946 for a few weeks. But we wanted to, you know, show, you know, one time they're at a big Hollywood party, and you know, there's always liquor flowing there, so Jimmy has a little too much to drink. But there's another. There's only two times in the book where that happens. But the second time is when Jimmy comes back, and you know, Evan actually, I don't want to give it away, but Evan actually is, you know, staying in Jimmy Stewart's guest house, so they get to spend some time together. But he comes back one night and he's, you know, thinking about the war, and he's just saying, you know, because Jimmy Stewart back in the 40s, they didn't call it, but he had PTSD. You know, that's what they call it now for, you know, Vietnam and Iraq War. But back then, those guys, you know, had it also. So in real life, Jimmy Stewart did have it, and it was kind of difficult for him. So we were just using, you know, that as, he said, sometimes, you know, it helps me forget the memories, you know, because in real life, he literally lost, you know, I think those bombers had like 12 guys per crew, and sometimes, you know, they might lose 10 planes, you know,
right,
like 120 guys. So he was the head of the bomb group, and so he had a lot of pressure on himself, you know, a lot of these young guys losing their lives, and I think that's a lot for anybody to handle. So that's kind of why Jimmy's kind of down in a couple of those scenes, because he's reminiscing about the guys and his friends that he lost in the war.
Mm, yeah. So it's such a, you know, a great book, so many facets to it. And, you know, I see that it's getting some pretty amazing reviews from some high-profile people.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple. But I wanted to mention, just in case people, you know, they can find the book on Amazon, which is the main place, you know, Amazon.com. But also there's a website called, which is called HollywoodTimeTravel.com. And that has, you know, all the information about the synopsis and the book trailer and, you know, all that information and how you can get it. You can get it, you know, clicking a button that'll take you to Amazon. But HollywoodTimeTravel.com is the best place to find out information about the series. But to get back to your question, yeah, there's, you know, being out in Hollywood for 30 years, I've met a few celebrities through the years, and I reached out to a few and got some to give me some endorsements who read the book, and Rich Little being one of, you know, Hollywood legend. He's the, you know, the impersonator of impersonators.
Yeah.
And John Schneider, who's a friend, he read it. He really loved the book. Robert Davi, who's was in Die Hard and The Goonies and different movies. He loves that era also, and then he gave it a really good review. So, an endorsement. So, was very fortunate to have some guys like that that have some name value that read it and really liked it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm sure it'll be liked by many. When did it come out?
Well, it came out on Amazon in October. Basically, October 27th was the main official day. And so it's been out for a couple months, and it is doing really well. You know, when it first came out, it was it reached a bestseller status. bestseller status in six different categories, including Amazon's number one on Amazon's Hot New Releases. So, and then now, once you get things on Amazon, you know, they kind of go up and down. And so, and I'm just kind of learning this whole Amazon, you know, ads,
sure,
and discount books. And so, I do have a lady named Martha Bulin from Bulin Publishing Services, who's been my book coach. And I needed someone to kind of help me, you know, walk through this experience and not make bad decisions. So she's been helping me, and she's gotten me the bestseller status. And she kind of helps me say, hey, let's put some ads in Robin Reads or this. And what happens is right now, you know, the ebook is $2.99. So when you put it out on discount, you bring it down to whatever price. We have it down to 99 cents right now. And you move a lot of ebooks when the price is really low. So those are some of the things I'm learning. And but that's when it came out, October 27th on Amazon. It's going to be coming out on Ingram Spark, which is in the, you know, Barnes & Noble stores. I think in the next couple of weeks also.
Outstanding. And again, you can always go to HollywoodTimeTravel.com, HollywoodTimeTravel.com, and find out more about the book as well. And so what are the plans? What's next for the time travel series, the Hollywood Time Travel series?
So the first book is done. So now we have to start writing the second book, and Reinhardt and I will start doing that right after the first of the year, probably, you know, January or February. And this one's going to take a little longer because, you know, the first one was based off my movie script, so the whole story was there. We just had to elongate it and do things. But this time we're starting from scratch, so I don't know if we can get it done in a year, but, you know, maybe in the next year and a half, it will, you know, year and a half, 2 years, I don't know, because, you know, we're both busy doing other things.
Yeah.
Reinhard is a screenwriter, working on various projects for people. He also is producing a couple of films right now. Same thing with me in regards to, you know, I've got some other projects going, and that car show, the Cars and Stars show I told you about.
Yeah.
But we're definitely committed to getting it done, and we want to get the second one done, and then we'll just hopefully get a fan base. Hopefully people will like these characters and want to keep buying the books as they come out. And then, like you said, maybe Hollywood will take notice. And maybe I'll get some phone calls saying, "Hey, we like the title of your series, the Hollywood Time Travel Series. You think they would like that because it's all about Hollywood?"
Sure, absolutely. See. Now, where can you see Cars and Stars?
Well, Cars and Stars is not up yet. It's a show. It's a cable show. So we have let's see how many. There's a 12 shows in a season. And so, or 12 episodes, I'm sorry. And we just finished the first six. So we're now starting on the next six. But we have a deal for international, but we have not made one yet in the States or domestically. So we're working on that right now, talking to some places. But yeah, that'll start, I would say, airing, you know, maybe in March of next year, not too far away.
So what is the premise of that?
Well, it's called Cars and Stars, and it's all about film and TV cars. So I'll give you an idea. Yeah. So the first episode is on the Batmobiles.
Oh. Wow.
First off, we talk about the Batmobile from 1966 for the TV show that was designed by George Barris, and then also the kind of the bigger, you know, ones from the Batman movies. We did an episode on the DeLorean time machine from Back to the Future. We did one on Herbie the Love Bug. We did one on Kit from Knight Rider.
Uh-huh.
So it's that kind of stuff. We kind of talk about who are the designers behind making these iconic cars that people love. And so we talk to the producers of the show or movie, the director, the designers, the fabricators. If you want to get a Batmobile, where can you get one made? You know, that kind of stuff. So it's a pretty neat show. Yeah, there's just, when you think about it, there's so many cars in TV shows and
sure.
movies to pick from. So hopefully that'll go for a long time.
Yeah.
No lack. We're actually going to do, right now they have a new exhibit at the Peterson Museum here in Los Angeles. And it's called, Beyond Bond. And they have all the James Bond cars there. So we're going to go there in January and do some interviews on some of the cars from those movies, and I think the last episode of our first season will be, or maybe the last couple episodes will be on Bond cars. So there's a lot of stuff to pick
from.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a series that's going to be. I can't wait to be able to see that. That is terrific. And when I saw the main character in the book is Evan West, of course, I thought of Adam West, you know, and you mentioned the Batmobile, you know.
That's interesting that you say that. You know, I'll tell you, the when I came up with that idea in 93, when I was trying to think of a name for my main character, and when I wrote it in 93, I was thinking, well, if he's going to be about 20 or 25, I'll go back, so that would be like 68 to 73, and I was thinking, you know, back then there was the hippie movement, and I was thinking, maybe his parents were hippies, and they called, you know, Evan was a very kind of hippie name for their kids, so that's how I came up with the name Evan, and then West, it was just that he was, you know, in Hollywood on the West Coast, and I thought, I'll give him West for the last name, so that was pretty simple.
Yeah. I understand you're in the real estate business as well.
Yeah, that's something new for me. Just about 2 years ago, I've been in the entertainment industry a long time, and it's been really good to me. But you know, I'm 56 right now. I'm going to be 57 this month, actually. So as you get older, you kind of, you know, you realize, wow, I don't know how many summers I have left. And I love entertainment, but I've been wanting to do something different, totally different than what I was doing. So yeah, I found out about real estate, and it's funny. The interesting thing is, my broker is the guy that gave me my first job at the Beverly Hills Hotel. His name was John Forrest. He's been in real estate for the last 25 years, and we've been in touch all these years. And so when I decided real estate, I called him up and said, "Hey, what do you think about me getting into real estate?" And he said, "Doug, you'd be a great realtor." And so I said, "Well, tell me what I need to do." So he kind of show me what to do, and I passed the test, and he's my broker.
Wow.
So, full circle, huh?
I guess so. Well, Doug, you're still a young man,
thanks.
And how is the market out there?
Well, right now in California, it's still really good.
Yeah.
It's still good for the sellers, you know, the inventory. I'm starting to see a little more inventory, but, you know, COVID really, really was a strange time because, you had to go, it was like you had to get all this paperwork signed to go see houses, no more open houses. Now those things are a little more open. But it was a tough time for doing stuff. But things are good. I haven't, since I've had the book come out the last couple months, I have not been very proactive in real estate on purpose because I really wanted to focus on managing this book release and launch. So after the first of the year, yeah, I'll probably start being a little more proactive. But I really do enjoy real estate because it uses some of the same, skills that I've learned in Hollywood all these years, being a people person, negotiating, and that kind of stuff. So it was a good transition for me.
Well, Doug, I know you're a busy guy involved in a lot of things, and I really appreciate you taking the time today to be with us here on the show. And folks, if you want to get the book, it's A Wonderful Time, and it's HollywoodTimeTravel.com, or you can get it on Amazon, and you just mentioned 99 cents.
Yeah, for the ebook. Yeah, there's also a soft cover, which is definitely more, but yeah, that's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Really, a lot less.
That's right. That is absolutely right. You could buy several of your e-books for one Starbucks coffee.
That's true. Yeah.
But Doug, thanks so much. You've been a terrific guest, and best of luck on the book.
Okay, Ken. Thank you. And yeah, again, thanks for the opportunity and the invite to come on your show. I really appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure, Doug. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Doug Stapleton, and the name of the book is It's a Wonderful Time. If you like the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you will love It's a Wonderful Time, without question. And thanks to Doug for taking the time today. Here on Kale & Company, 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 on the FM dial in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area, Kale & Company. Presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive. They are conveniently located at 124 Store Street in Concord. You can give them a call right now if you'd like to talk to them and make an appointment for your vehicle at 603-225-7988, or you can find them online at weedfamilyautomotive.com. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio, talking about what matters to you. Welcome back. It is Kale & Company. Great to have you along with us on 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 on the FM dial in the Concord area, and 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. WKXL is home for Boston Celtics basketball. And our sponsors are Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, Weed Family Automotive. .com. And a reminder that you can listen to all of the terrific programming that you might have missed or perhaps want to hear again on nhtalkradio.com, WKXL in the Morning with A.J. Kierstead, Beyond Politics, with many great shows from Matt Robeson and two-time U.S. Congressman Paul Hodes, The New England Take, In Touch, Artful Living, The Press Pass with Chris Ryan, and Facing the Future. Plus, you can always stream WKXL live on nhtalkradio.com, except when the Celtics are playing. That's the one thing we can't do, is stream the Celtics because of contractual rights that the NBA has. But you can hear it, certainly, on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. So Celtics basketball all season long. Great broadcast team, Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. And you can join me on Twitter at Kale & Company, or on Facebook, just look for Ken Kale, C-A-I-L is the last name. If you have any guest suggestions or anything you would like to hear on Kale & Company, or perhaps In Touch with Kale & Cormier, or, if you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you, whether it be on Twitter or on Facebook. And WKXL, well, we love the arts and its community, and WKXL is sponsoring Piccolo Opera's The Dickens Carolers on Tour, and it's coming up December 18th, 6 o'clock at the Concord City Auditorium. And tickets range between $15 and $20. So just go to piccoloopera.net, piccoloopera.net. That's spelled P-I-C-C-O-L-A, piccoloopera.net. And that should be a terrific show. The Dickens Carolers on Tour, December 18th at a wonderful venue in downtown Concord, the City Auditorium. Tickets just $15 to $20, and it will be a most enjoyable show, I can tell you that. I know in talking with Jane Cormier, lots of youngsters are also involved in that production. And so check it out, December the 18th, wonderful family event, the Dickens Carolers on Tour. It is Kale and Company. We're glad that you could join us today here on 1450 AM WKXL, a radio signal that has been around now for 75 years, just like It's a Wonderful Life. Wonderful Life celebrating its 75th anniversary this year, and I'm sure a lot of people are watching that for the umpteenth time, as it were. And a great movie, and glad we had a chance to chat with Doug Stebbleton today, who has written a book called It's a Wonderful Time, a little time traveling back to that era in 1946 when A Wonderful Life was made in Hollywood with a 300-yard set where they were filming the movie in Southern California. Hot weather. They didn't have any snow, so they had to replicate it with cornflakes. Now you know, when you see that snow falling during It's a Wonderful Life, you will know that it is really cornflakes. And sometimes, Doug told us that when they stepped on the snow, sometimes you would hear the crackle of the cornflakes, and they would have to overdub it and do the lines again so you wouldn't hear the crackling of the snow. Because most snow doesn't crackle unless there's some ice involved. It's Kale and Company here, 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9. Great new signal into the Manchester area. We are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call them for an appointment right now, 603-225-7988. And don't forget, WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio, we are talking about what matters to you. Heading down the home stretch today of Kale and Company. Great to have you with us at 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, and 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. Kale and Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. And we are still embroiled in a labor problem in Major League Baseball, and nobody is too thrilled about it. It's, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you kind of get discouraged. You kind of get discouraged because it's basically the millionaires against the billionaires, the players versus the owners. And, you know, in these times of inflation, when times are tough for a lot of people in this country for a variety of reasons, you get the millionaires and the billionaires battling. I mean, the players are making more money than they have ever made before, as are the owners. And here we are with another lockout in Major League Baseball that could extend into spring training and perhaps beyond into the regular season. So you have some owners and players, all of whom are doing very, very well financially, and they're just trying to, you know, determine when players can become free agents, how much service time they have to have before they can become free agents, or when they can go to arbitration for the first time. And all these issues that have nothing to do with the game on the field, which could certainly use some help. Think about the game first instead of the greed. Think about the game and not the greed of baseball. I'm talking to the owners and the players of Major League Baseball, because the fans have no pity for either side. And 2021 was a good year for Major League Baseball, and someday fans are just going to say, forget it. You know, we've had enough. So let's hope they can come to a resolution sooner than later. We thank you very much for joining us today on this edition of Kale and Company. presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Join us next time for Kale and Company.